so good that y'all could sing back up to the Gaither Vocal Band, I believe. That was good. That was good. It sounded really, really well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I ask that you turn to 2 Timothy 3, just looking at two verses as our focal passage. Of course, we will have other verses to support our message today, but these are our focal verses for this service. The Book of Books. How many of you enjoy reading? Not many. Not the Bible, just I want to know if you enjoy reading. Now raise your hand. Okay. Oh, now more people raise their hand. That was a trick question. I got you. But the Book of Books, referring to the Bible. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, just stand and follow along as I read these two verses, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to this service. So the Bible in itself is a wonderful gift from God, something that we should never take lightly, something that we should hold fast to, something that we should always use and lean to. It should be our guide, our map, our GPS per se. The Bible in itself provides accurate accounts of the Heavenly Father's character, His actions, and His purpose. And so within those characteristics of Jesus, within His actions and within His purpose of life, we should be able to base our lives upon those very same things. We should have or exemplify the characteristics of Jesus. Our actions should be the same as Jesus' actions, and our purpose should be the same. We know that we don't have to go to a cross to save others. We know that that has already been done, but our purpose in life should be the very same as what Jesus' purpose was, and that was to tell others of eternal glory, the kingdom of Jesus Christ and Himself. And so that's what our purpose in life should be for those who have called upon the name of God. And so through the Old Testament and the New Testament, this Bible teaches man there's one problem, and that problem simply being sin. And we know that the only remedy to sin is the fact that we must have faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That is the only way that we can combat sin. That is the only way that you will have victory over the grave. Reading these two verses, we read together the words, God's Word is profitable. And so the importance of knowing what God's Word means and why it is profitable for you and for me is the fact that it allows us to understand the importance of evangelism, education, and exhortation, and also encouragement, and enabling others to lead a more righteous life. Now, when I say a more righteous life, I mean a righteous life through Jesus Christ, provided by Him, knowing that you were made righteous by Jesus Christ, not by your works, but through the work of Jesus within you. So, as children of God, we really do not need anything else. We do not need anything else if we have the Lord Jesus living within us. But as I say most every Sunday or every time that we gather here together, there's work that we have to do. We can't just accept Jesus and understand and know that it is because of God's only begotten Son that we have life eternal and it stopped there. It should continue to grow. And so what that means is you must invest time in Jesus. He's already invested His time in you, and so He needs you to invest your time in Him. And so in order to do that, something that you must do is you've got to read His Word. You've got to read the Book of Books. You've got to study it. You've got to be able to apply it. Now, I know that we say this and we know this every time that we gather together, but are you doing it? Do you take advantage of the devotions that the church provides, our daily bread and open windows and the men, the stand firm? Do you take advantage of those devotions. Kevin shared this morning that he has a 5-minute devotion that they do together as a family, and that's 5 minutes, but that 5 minutes can really grow into much longer time spent with God. So do you even make 5 minutes for God? Do you spend time reading the book of books? Now, I know I told you to raise your hand or asked you to raise your hand if you enjoy reading, and there's nothing wrong with reading books in general. That's how we obtain knowledge and educate ourselves in our areas of interest. But at the same time, if you make time to read those secular books, you need to make sure that you take time and read God's holy and infallible word. And that's so very important that you put yourselves in God's word, that you invest time in God's word so that you will reap the benefit of God's spirit, God's wisdom, and the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very important, though, that we, when we read his word, that we really apply it to our lives, especially with what we've read here in just these two verses. There's a lot given within these two verses today. It tells us why the word of God is so very important, and then it also tells us what we should do when we begin to study God's word and how we're to be able to interpret God's word, because it is through reproof and correction that we can gain more knowledge in God and what he wants to do for you in your own life. And so when you begin to study God's word and you begin to see that there may be errors in your way of living or errors in doctrine in which other people you may communicate with, or maybe conduct or maybe attitude reveal themselves, you need to be able to know how to handle it. You need to be able to know if this is something I need to turn away from and go the opposite direction of. Do I need to involve myself with this type of behavior and this type of conduct or maybe this type of doctrine? Unfortunately, we know that there are many people out there who take the very same word of God that we have and they misconstrue it, or they take it to meet their need and they go and try to teach a false doctrine. You, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has got to be fully aware of what is true and what is false. And I can go ahead and tell you, if anybody takes the word of God and they add to it, or they begin to take away from it, as in deduct the meaning of, they are teaching you or they are displaying a belief in false doctrine. But you have to be aware of what is false. And the only way that you can educate yourself on God is by inviting him to live within your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct you, so as when you do study his word, that you can see the reproofs that need to be made, the corrections that need to be made. Otherwise, if you try to allow the ways of the world to teach you these corrections, you're going to fail, and you're going to fail miserably. And it's going to lead you down a pathway of destruction. So when we heed God's warning, it will help us avoid disasters down the way. You know, initially it may not look as a big deal. It may be, well, I'm just kind of toying with or flirting with this idea. I'm not going to act upon it. But if God has given you this warning, you need to heed that warning, because eventually that temptation you will turn to and you will begin to delve into, and it will no longer be a temptation because you will be involved in. So you have to be very careful when you begin to do things like that. And so if you don't keep God at the center of your life, at the forefront of your life, you are very susceptible to these types of ways or these errors that you may make within your life. So I have three questions right now that I want to ask you. And so the first question being, how many of you feel that the entire Bible does not apply to you? Are there certain portions that you eliminate to meet your need, suit your need, or to meet your agenda? And then the third question is, or do you believe the Bible in its entirety was written for you? Every life situation that you face, there are answers in the Bible. You can apply every word that we have here this morning to any situation within your life, good and bad. And God knew this from the very beginning. That's why he gave us his word. The whole Bible in itself is God's final authority. He is the sustainer of life, and he is the authority of life. He is the authority of this word. His ministry is this word. And so, looking back at verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible in itself is inspiration from God. It is literally God-breathed. It's authoritative. Now, I'm not going to ask you to hold your Bibles up in the air and show them to me. Maybe you didn't bring yours today, and that is okay, but there's a Bible in front of you that I hope you're using, but this is what I want you to listen and hear what I'm saying to you right now. With this very Bible that I'm holding, with the very Bible that you're holding, whether it's yours or whether it's borrowed, you and I, we are holding the inerrant Word of God. This is directly from God Almighty. It is inerrant, meaning it is without error. It is infallible, meaning it is nothing but the truth. The truth will be revealed to you if you study His Word. Now, the truth may be something that you may not want to see. You may not want to know the truth. But in order to find the truth of life for you, you have to hold this Bible. You have to read this Bible. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what God needs you to know at that given moment in time. That's why you have to make sure that you make this a part of your daily routine. Before anything else, you need to make sure that you're given that time that is due to God, that you are putting yourself in this Bible. Because look, this is a true and free gift that God has given us. And He gave us this because He knew that we were going to need guidance. Just like He knew that the Israelites were going to need guidance through the giving of the Old Testament. He knew that we were going to need guidance as we continued our lives in the year of 2018. And these things that were written thousands of years ago are still, it holds so very true to the day. To everything that we experience, we can gain the knowledge and the spirit and the truth from God by reading His Word. God's Word will always reveal the truth, and it will set you free. Many of you may be dealing with different things within your lives right now that you just can't let go because you just don't want to face the truth. But that truth in life may be what's waiting to set you free by seeking the will of God. And it may not be easy. It may hurt you tremendously. But you've got to understand and know that God has a plan for all of His children. Now, you know, and I know that the decisions that we make every single day, it affects our path. And God knows the direction of our path. He knows which way you're going to go. He knows what decisions you're going to make. And He's always got another plan ready to put forth for you. Because we don't always make the right decisions. We don't always make the godly decision, myself included. So God has to be prepared for when we make those mistakes. And aren't you glad that we have a God who is full of grace and mercy, who is very ready to give us another escape when we mess up? Looking at verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. That is you and that is me. That the child of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, do you feel that you're thoroughly equipped? And if you don't, it's not because you can't be. In order to be thoroughly equipped to do the work of God, you've got to be able to adhere to His voice. You've got to be able to recognize His voice and see His direction and path that He has laid out for you. If you don't do that, you're not going to be thoroughly equipped to do what He needs you to do. You know that when you go to work, you go to school, if you participate in sport, if you want to be good at it, you've got to be thoroughly equipped. You can't go play soccer with a baseball glove or hold a bat in your hand. You can't go play baseball without a glove. You can't play football without a helmet. You can't go to school without your book bag and paper and pencils and the necessary things to do your schoolwork. You got to be fully equipped. Well, you can't be a fully equipped Christian if you don't have God's Word hidden within your heart. And the only way that you can equip yourself is to place yourself in God's Word. James 1:22, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We're all hearing God's Word. And you know, with the advancements of technology, there's really no excuses, especially for you all that are really into modern technology. There is no excuses for not being able to hear God's Word. How many of you use podcasts? Anybody? A few? That's an easy way. For example, even our daily bread, you can get an app on your phone and you can have the daily bread read to you. You don't even have to read it yourself. You can have the daily bread read to you. It even reads the scripture to you. So we have many different ways that we can get the Word to us. But still, even though if we hear it, it's still good to read it. But we got to be doers and not hearers only. God's word cannot be accomplished through us if it has not transformed our own lives. And that's very important for us too. You know, we have to make sure that we are living what we're reading, that we're not just reading it. And so if God's word hasn't transformed you, then how can God use you to go out and transform others? So we have to make sure that we're living an impactful life, a life based beyond scriptures and the things that God has for us, because it is God's desire for his children to follow the master's plan. And that should be your very desire as well. So we look at God and his spirit and how he infused his thoughts, his words, how he influenced the biblical writers of the Old and the New Testament. And we know that the Old Testament, the New Testament, it was written, it was penned by man, but they were literally inspired by God himself. And that takes me to thinking of the Old Testament. And could you imagine how that must have been for Moses to hold the Ten Commandments and to know that they were literally written with the fingertip of God? Can you imagine? Sure you can. Got it right here. Very same thing. We don't have to carry around these big heavy stones. We've got the Bible. And everything that we read was technically written by the fingertip of God, because his fingertip was upon those chosen men to give us his word. So what are you doing with the book of books? Now, these next few questions I'm going to ask you, I don't want you to answer them out loud. I don't want you to show your hands, but I want you to think about them. And I want you to be very honest with yourself. I used to fall into this category when I was younger. But you know, when we're younger, we're not supposed to know as much. We're not supposed to know better. But as we grow older, we're to grow wiser. And we're to realize the error in our ways, and we need to know that we need to make changes. And so here's the first question. Are you reading it? All right, now, are you reading it and studying it? Big difference. I can read through this chapter right now, chapter 4, and close the Bible and be done. But are you reading it and studying it and literally pondering on what those words mean and what information God was trying to get across within these words? Now, here's the question. With the Bible that you have, when you go home from church today, where do you put it? Where do you put it? And wherever it is that you lay it, does it remain there until you go back out the door to come back to church? Or let me ask you this question. How many of you just keep the Bible in your car and you don't touch it again until you come back? Now, I know at our house, even before God called me into the ministry, we had a copious amount of Bibles. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of them didn't get touched. Rarely did I spend time in God's Word reading it. But then I learned the error in my ways. And to see, I was of age, old enough to know better before I realized that I needed to read God's Word daily. I was 35, 34 years old. I should have known better. I was raised in church. What do we do with God's Word? It's easy to take this Bible, your Bible, and as you walk in the house, lay it by the kitchen counter or wherever you enter into your house, and it sit right there until you leave the next Sunday or maybe the Wednesday. What do you do with the book of books? Through the Bible, we learn what happens at the moment of our salvation. Our sin's penalty is reckoned. It is paid in full. This is through the Bible that we learn this. And then through the Word that is within the Bible, God has entrusted to us the knowledge of who He is. Now think about that. These are not just mere words that have been inscribed and then transformed into paper for you and I to read. This is the knowledge of who God is and why He created you and why He sent His Son to die on the cross. We get all of that from the Word. We also see how our future for mankind will unfold. Once again, I encourage you to come back on Sunday night as we study Revelation. A lot to be learned. A lot that many don't understand. A lot that I don't understand. I'm learning as I go, and I hope the ones who come on Sunday night are learning as we go. But think about this, ladies and gentlemen and children, that there's going to be a time on this earth, this beautiful earth, that things are going to begin to be in ways in which we cannot wrap our minds around. We see suffering now, and we see things being destroyed now through earthquake, through fire, through flood, through whatever calamity of life, but there's going to be a day. And we should hope and pray that none of us will be there to experience this day. But many will. Many will meet their doom. And why? Because they won't take time learning from the book of books. They won't take time to learn about a man who came to this earth to seek and save all who were lost and give them life eternal. We make it difficult, but it really is a very simple process. It's a matter of faith. A matter of being bold and doing what is right in the eyes of God and not what is right in the eyes of man. The scriptures were intended to lead us into a growing personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, to empower us to come to the full spirit, truth, and knowledge of His only begotten Son through the fruitful service of Jesus Christ. He was the first, RAs, listen, Jesus Christ was the first royal ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 reads, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So as ambassadors for Christ, we are called to follow Jesus' example in glorifying Him. Everything that we do should glorify God. Now you think about that, and I'm talking to myself once again. Think about your daily routines. Everything that you do, does it glorify God? You know, being part of the school system for 11 years, I saw how things worked, and sometimes things didn't go the way I thought they should have. And sometimes I had to do things that I didn't really feel like it was my responsibility to do, but I had to do it. Or maybe I had to do a responsibility for somebody else who didn't come in to do their duty. Sometimes I didn't want to do that. I wondered if I was glorifying God in my reaction to whom. Of course, if the principal was asking me, you know, I put a big old smile on my face and said, I'll be glad to do that. But maybe on the inside, it was probably like, oh, I can't believe she asked me to do that. But do we glorify God in everything we do? And of course we don't. God knows that we aren't, but we should strive to. We should make it a cognitive effort each and every day. Let me take that back. Not a cognitive effort. It should be a spiritual-driven effort every single day that we glorify God. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now that's important. That verse is very important. Matthew 5:16, if you want to write it down and go back and look at it later. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." There's not a period there or an exclamation mark. There's a conjunction, and it's joining with the ending of the sentence saying, "and glorify your Father in heaven." So that's very important. We should do good work so that we glorify God. We shouldn't do good work so that y'all can tell me how good of a job I did or how good the choir did or how good Miss Debbie did or Miss Laura did playing the piano. We don't do it for that. We shouldn't. We do these things so that God can be glorified. He has given us the talents. He has given us the ability, the gifts to do exactly what it is that He has called us to do. As a Christian, we must allow God's light to be on full display. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Yes, of course it is. We can't always be in the best of moods. Sometimes we're in bad moods. Sometimes we're grumpy, ill, angry. But whatever you do, strive to display God's light. Because as we go out in this dark and evil world, we are probably the only true Christian light that many will see. There are two responsibilities within our Christian life. The first being we must guard against anything that can separate us from our only source of light. Secondly, we must let our light shine so bright that others will see the reality of Christ living within us. The reality of Christ. Christ is reality. Hell is reality. So we got to make sure that we are allowing people to see that within our lives. The Father's will shall include different tasks for His children to accomplish according to the ways He's planned for each one of us. And that's one thing that I really rejoice in, is the fact that the will for me and the will for you is different. God has a special plan for every individual who sits here today, and every one of us can be used for the glory of God. Every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, and then the days in between, all of us have abilities that God has blessed us with. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5 reads, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." This is our service to love all. This is what God wants us to do. As I said, you know, we are all very different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different likes and dislikes. But when we come here together, we should have one common like, that to be to make sure that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. Are we going to sometimes disagree on things? If we go to vote on something, is it always going to be unanimous? Maybe not. Is that wrong? No. But God expects us to handle His business with a Christ-like attitude. And sometimes that's difficult because we let our flesh get involved and we don't let the Spirit drive us. We don't often let our light shine. And you know, we do see this, you know, we hear and we see around us the different churches in our area, even within Lancaster County, and sometimes dissension takes place, and we know that that dissension is right from Satan himself. And so that's why it's so very important that you spend time in the book of books, that you spend time praying, that God has infiltrated, the Holy Spirit has infiltrated your heart so that every action you display is Christ-like, not Michael-like. Not like you, but like God, like Christ, the way He designed it. Meditating on scriptural principles and examples will help us discern what is right and what is wrong, what is Christ-like and what is the ways of the world. Just as Jesus' work was to do His Father's will, that is our calling as well. The key is meditating and understanding and knowing that this word that we've read today, just these two verses, were inspired by God. God breathed. Think about that. That God inspired man to give us His heavenly word. And just as Jesus lived as man, but yet was divine, God used man to give us word, and it is heavenly, divine. So what place does this book of books, the Bible, what place does it have in determining your pathway of life? Is it something that you spend time in daily? Or as I said earlier, is it something that you only touch and hold once a week? And unfortunately, if we were to be honest with ourselves, many only touch once a week. Some may not touch at all. If you're touching it, are you opening it? Are you reading it? Are you meditating on it? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell within you, taking these words and putting them into life application? That is the work of a Christian. That is the work of an ambassador for Christ. So I do encourage you to take time today and every day to listen and to read the Word of God so that you can partake in His wisdom and that you can determine what He is saying specifically for you. And by doing this, you will position your mind to His priorities, to His will, and even to His way of thinking for you. Remember, we are one body, many members, but one body, one common goal. And as to let others see Jesus through us so that we can reach this lost and dying world, so that we can tell them that there's no greater book that you'll ever pick up and read than the book of books, the Bible. Even in this world in which we live, do you all know that this is still the number one selling book in the world? But what good does it do if it sits there on that shelf? Or what good does it do if it sits there on a table displayed at your house? Maybe giving off the idea when people come to visit, oh, they got their Bible sitting right out there in front. I bet they read it all the time. Now, this Bible belonged to my papa. It was not my Bible. I didn't put this wear and tear on it. He's duct taped it. He's used packaging tape to hold that bind together. And I know that he used it. Matter of fact, he used it the very last Sunday he preached in 2013 before he died 2 weeks later. He used it. And so I hope that with the Bible that I study from, that one day I'll be able to use duct tape on mine to hold it together. But even with this duct tape that holds this Bible together, the most important thing of all is that what this Bible is all about is what truly holds us together. And that is the inerrant and the infallible Word inspired by God, given to you and given to me, so that we can take His Word and apply it to our lives, so that we can be a better person for Christ, a better person for this world, and display in Christ-like attitude. Closing again in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What are you doing with the book of books? Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity once again to be with Your people. And so, God, I pray today that there may be someone here today who knows that they don't spend enough time in Your Word. God, they may just dabble in Your Word, flip a few pages, God, and feel as if they've accomplished much. Father, I pray today that we all will spend more time reading Your Word, so that we can be better people, so that we can be the Christians that You have called us to be, God, that You have elected us to be, Father. And I pray now that Your Holy Spirit will guide each and every one who is here today to read it, to study it, to meditate it, and apply it to our lives each and every day. And Father, there may be some here today who don't know You, who don't have the ability, the power, to be led by the Holy Spirit because they have not made that decision to allow You to come and live within their heart. So God, I pray now if there be one sitting here today who has not made that profession of faith, may today be that day, God. For Lord, we do not know the time. Father, we know that all things come from You, every blessing comes from You, and God, we rejoice in knowing that Your Word is inspired by You and You alone, Father. You are the ultimate authority and sovereign ruler of this universe, and for this we are eternally grateful. Father, we love You and we do praise You. Amen.